The Brad Sesmat Show, broadcasting live from the ShopTates.com studios.
It's good Friday. Thanks for being with us, Brad Sesmat, Sports 360, AZ.com, and on AZ Central Sports. Welcome on in. Thanks for being with us. White Mountain Radio as well. It is a great Friday. Of course, it's Valentine's Day. I took care of business this morning through the... it's always great when you have like a nine-year-old, because the nine-year-old can go get a single rose. The nine-year-old can go get a breakfast burrito, and he can make a little card, and then he can put it on like a tray and take it upstairs. And you're the king because you got it all handled through the nine-year-old rather than yourself. So that's what we do here. And we rolled right through it. So happy Valentine's Day to you and yours, and I'm off to a good start. Jay Perry, CEO, Arizona Super Bowl host committee, is going to be with us in studio here in a few minutes. The Super Bowl is coming, and Jay is the person in charge of all of it. We'll visit with her. Goody at the Movies, as always, Bill Goodykoontz on a Friday, Halloween. For some of you, it's Halloween. On a Valentine's weekend, you need to know what movies you need to go to. It is All-Star Weekend, and there's all that stuff going on, but look, don't screw this one up. And then Matt Muehlbach is going to be with us, Arizona Wildcat Network and Pac-12 Network analyst. Jared Cohen is in for Eric today. I guess Eric feeling he needs brownie points. When you get married, he's going to do in July. If you screw up Valentine's Day before you get married, you don't make it to the wedding. Is that about what we're going on this today?
Well, I don't know if he gets brownie points because he's going to see U of A and ASU tonight instead of partake in Valentine's Day, unless they're doing a nice little day date.
That's what I'm hearing.
Okay.
That's what I'm hearing. I don't want to call him because last time I did, he was doing a garage sale. So so it's your deal to do the Facebook question of the day. Don't screw it up. What do you got?
Didn't screw it up too badly, I don't think. For tonight's U of A-ASU game, we're all going to wake up tomorrow morning and going to say that blank was the biggest difference maker.
The biggest difference maker, fill in the blank, the officials. How's that for blank? The student section.
Their minds.
How's that
sometimes
for,
are blank.
How's that for... Well, I'd have to say Nick Johnson, because Nick Johnson, as U of A goes, and they've only lost once, Nick Johnson is the one that always seems to come up with the big shot, the big swipe, the big block, the big defensive play. That's a pretty easy one, because I think U of A is going to win.
Yeah. Well, you took mine, so for sake of radio, I'll come up with another one. I'm going to say Jordan Baczynski, because Jordan has really struggled.
Really?
Has
wow.
really struggled against this team, and the last two seasons he would have great games like he's had leading up to it, like this the case this year, but then just kind of falls off the map in
he's
this
awful.
Game in particular.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say that if he can have the type of performances he did against the Oregon schools, that'll neutralize Caleb Tarzewski a little bit, and it could really change things up in this game.
I'm looking forward to this game. No, that's a good you're surprised me with that one, because he's just been terrible against the U of A.
Exactly.
I mean, awful. So
if they're to win,
yeah.
He is the biggest blank.
He is the guy. He's the biggest blank?
Yeah.
I think you guys use those words on me some days when I roll on in here. Brad's the biggest blank.
Can neither confirm or deny.
Yeah, there you go. Facebook question of the day, facebook.com/sports360AZ. Good job there, Jared. Let's get you caught up. Some of the things on my mind in the world of sports. Brought to you by the Honda Resort and Casino. In the beautiful White Mountains, the Honda Resort and Casino. It's Valentine's Day, guys. Have you screwed this one up? You still have time. You could take her to the Honda Resort and Casino tonight. Have some great food, some entertainment, have some fun, pull down on the slot. Maybe if there's a room left, you never know. It's Valentine's Day, for crying out loud, guys. Don't put this one off to the back burner. Head up to the Honda Resort and Casino. The weather is just awesome. Just thought we could use some snow. I'm not going to dispute that. But it's just awesome on Valentine's. And of course, a week from now, it's the Winter Games. That's at the Honda Resort and Casino. Great entertainment, great fun. If you can't get there this weekend, next weekend, plan on being at the Winter Games with the Mountain Mutt and the dogs and all that. That's a lot of fun. That's next weekend. The Honda Resort and Casino, they've been with us since day number one. I could start with Richie Incognito, but because I'm Arizona-centric, tonight we have ASU and U of A. We have a game tonight. Jared, do we have any sound on this? Do we have anything on this game tonight?
Yeah, you know, Sean Miller earlier in the week talked about the crowd situations with Marcus Smart, and also maybe I think he was asked about the spitting situation.
Oh,
I don't think anything specific, but, you know, we have some emails that have been sent to you that might have floated through the cracks this morning.
Just rolled on in here as we were speaking. That's the way it goes on the show. So the game is tonight, and it's in Tempe. The game is sold out. I was arguing with Eric that I think it's going to be 70-30 red and blue. He thinks it's going to be 60-40 ASU colors.
And UVA is going for a blue out tonight.
Going for a blue out on the opposing team's court. That's not good.
No.
Here is Sean Miller on Playing on the Road. Remember, ASU last week had a student who did something stupid, reportedly spit on a fan, was escorted out. So it's a different game tonight, I think, if we're looking at ASU and U of A from this standpoint. The last time these two teams played down in Tucson, it was not good at all. Jordan Paczynski didn't, as Jared said, didn't play well. Jermaine Marshall wasn't there for Arizona State. I know that ASU is a football school, U of A is a basketball school, so there's not really as much interest in this game for Arizona State. I talked to a number of Sun Devil guys this week, and they said, basketball, what's that? You know, and these are guys within the community that they're just into the football program. U of A, on the other hand, for them to come up here after getting whacked around on the football field, this is their big deal. Their basketball program has a chance to win a national title. So from that standpoint for U of A tonight, is it a bigger game for ASU? In my mind, it is. Look, basketball or football guys, you should want your school to be relevant in basketball. You should want your team to be out on the floor when it comes to March Madness. If ASU is able to win tonight, then they have that signature victory that March Madness folks will look at. That will go a long, long ways, along with the game at Cal and overtime on the road. There's spots on the schedule that you need to get that victory, and tonight is one of those for ASU. I don't think it's going to happen, but nonetheless, they have a shot tonight to make it work. The college football rule change that would penalize the offense. So this came out yesterday. And to advance the story further now, college football looking at the rule change that would penalize the offense 5 yards if they snap the ball before the game clock hits 29, which would allow the defenses to get on and off the field. Yesterday, as this story was breaking, I was beyond enraged to think that this was a good rule in any way, shape, or form. Then I heard as the day went along that Nick Saban and Brett Bielema, the head coach at Arkansas, voiced their concerns about the up-tempo, no-huddle offenses on player safety. You know, we got to find a way to get rid of those offenses that are giving us problems. And so the way to do that is we're going to say the player safety is the way to go. It's always easy to fall back on player safety. Now, Saban and Bielema reportedly did not vote on the proposal to allow defenses times to substitute between plays by prohibiting offenses from snapping the ball until 29 seconds left on the 40-second play clock. Reportedly. To think that they didn't have some circle of influence and want to talk about it, I think would be completely naive. Noel Mazzone, who's one of these guys that I have a high regard for, the former Arizona State offensive coordinator, very good mind offensively. Noel Mazzone said he's perplexed and more than a little miffed about the rule change proposal designed to slow down up-tempo offenses. His quote, "Why don't we just do away with the play clock and wait for the defense to say they're ready," Mazzone said. "We could have the quarterback go over to the other team's sideline and ask if it's okay to snap the ball. Hey, is it okay if we snap the ball? Are we going too fast for you guys?" So Noel Mazzone had some fun at this. And he's not happy about it. He has an up-tempo offense with Brett Hundley. This is going to change the way that you go about beating teams like Alabama and Arkansas. This is for those coaches to come out and say that they were ones that voiced their concerns about the up-tempo offense. I don't think they would want that to come out, but I don't have much respect for any coach who says, you know, this scheme that they're using, boy, I just don't know. I just don't think it's good. Think about that. I just don't think it's good. Well, yeah, and you're the ones that don't use it. So you're going to make it your agenda. Well, oh, shucks, you know, we got the players. And we don't want players to get hurt out here, and they're just going too fast. Well, is the defense just not in good enough shape? How about this? Have your defense be in shape when they get into camp. I don't see any problems with the offense. Does this have anything to do with the concussion issue? I don't see how that is. Well, there's more plays involved because they've sped it up too fast.
Imagine the irony. A flag is thrown because they snap the ball too quick, so they stop play even longer and call a delay a game. What are they calling a delay a game on themselves?
No, exactly.
The officials are slowing the games down themselves by throwing a flag for the ball being snapped too quickly.
We have enough delays in the game when they're sitting over there under the hood. In the college game, it's actually quicker. The NFL is an eternity. So the proposal will go to the NCAA Rules Oversight Committee, will be put to a vote on March 6th. This little story here in the middle of February for any college football fan, and a lot of what we do is college and high school and pro football, in that order. This story is a real game changer on the college football front. And more than a few coaches and teams that use the no-huddle, hurry-up offenses, and both of them here in the state use it. Todd Graham uses it. Rich Rodriguez uses it. Rich Rodriguez has not been happy in the last 48 hours since this has come out. And I'm very pleased to hear him go at it so hard on this one. Coach Saban asked for the opportunity to meet with the committee and talk about this, said the coordinator of officials. FBS coaches on the panel are Troy Calhoun of Air Force. He's the chairman. And Louisiana Lafayette's Todd Berry. Their teams ranked 104th and 93rd respectively last season in plays per game. So here's two guys at the bottom of the rope that are concerned about plays per game, and they're the ones saying, well, we need to change this a little bit. Isn't this fishy at all to anybody? Anybody? Richie Incognito's story and much more as we continue on. Brad Sussmat with you, sports360az.com. AZ Central Sports, White Mountain Radio, and on Twitter at Brad Sussmat, CESMAT. Stay with us. We'll have Jay Perry from the Super Bowl Committee in studio here in about 10 minutes. Brad Sussmat with you, Sports 360 AZ. White Mountain Radio, of course, AZ Central. Bill Goodykoontz comes up, Goody at the Movies at 10:45, and Matt Muehlbach in the second hour of the show. We'll visit with him. So Richie Incognito, let's get over to that. So the report came out today, and it paints Richie Incognito as a real bad guy, and it paints Jonathan Martin as a troubled young man, and that's basically where this all stands. Richie Incognito tried to destroy evidence. Richie Incognito, according to the independent counsel Ted Wells, was joined in by his teammates John Perry and Mike Pouncey in harassing Jonathan Martin. Those of you that aren't aware of this story, it's been everywhere over the last 3 months. Jonathan Martin and Richie Incognito, Miami Dolphin players within the locker room, and harassment that was being talked about. The report backs up many of the claims made by Jonathan Martin. And this, in the deal on this was Ted Wells, he sat with everybody within the Dolphins organization. And as he was going through this, so as an independent, it doesn't get out, or at least not supposed to, what's going on within this report. So I have to put a lot of credibility into this. The NFL, which appointed the independent counsel, released a statement thanking the Dolphins for their cooperation. The report backs up many claims. After Martin's departure on October 28th, text voicemails from Incognito came out, led to Incognito's suspension for the remainder of the season. Neither of the other two players were punished or significantly fingered in the investigation. So the deal on this is the report paints Martin as upset by his treatment from teammates. This goes back to when Jonathan Martin was in junior high school and high school and claimed that he was bullied and that he battled with depression. And when he came out of Stanford, there was some questions about Jonathan Martin. He dropped a little bit. I know that there were fans that wanted the Arizona Cardinals to take him. And so as this progressed, there were other details regarding unnamed player A in the report who was harassed, called homosexual in many of the offensive linemen's taunts. And so as this report comes out now, it makes Jonathan Martin look very, very good. I think as I've read through it, it's 147 pages. Richie Incognito, there's more than one situation that has come up where you just have to question what's going on now. I'm sure there's going to be guys that say, well, what goes on in a locker room stays in the locker room, or that Jonathan Martin was just weak mentally. I'm not there. I'm reading the report. The report really goes after Richie Incognito, and it doesn't go after Martin nearly as much. Now, there's going to be a side of this where I think there'll be those that think that the NFL is just covering this up. That, yeah, Ted Wells could be an independent investigator, but is he really there to paint the entire picture. I know there's going to be those conspiracy theorists on this one. The report said that in December 2013, after Martin left the team, Martin was asked to defend Incognito to quiet the controversy surrounding him, which Martin refused to do. Martin said to do the right thing repeatedly in text messages over the course of a week. That didn't happen. Richie Incognito, this is where it really gets interesting. It's 144 pages. If you start at the bottom and work your way back, on page 133, there's a significant text message exchange between Incognito and Mike Pouncey, two of the guys reportedly that went after and bullied Jonathan Martin. The exchange of the text messages, and I've got to kind of use a filter on this, Incognito drops an F-bomb on J-Mart. That F is never back. Pouncey, bro, I said the same thing. I can't even look at him the same. He's a expletive. Incognito, my agent just said if we held mandatory strip club meetings, J-Mart is blanking, ratting on everyone. Pouncey, LOL. Wow, are you serious? He is a blanking boy. Pouncey, he's not welcome back, bro. I can't be around this blanking guy. Incognito, blank that guy. If you're not with us, you are against us. Pouncey, no question, bro. He's a coward for snitching. Incognito, snitches get stitches. Blood in blood. Out, blanking way. Pouncey, he's dead to me. So now you start using those terms. And this is in text messages between Pouncey and Incognito. There's text messages that were exchanged between Incognito and Martin, which Incognito admitted to the independent counselor that he had promptly been leaking to the NFL Network's own Jeff Darlington. So Jonathan Martin doesn't come off as a brain surgeon in all this either. Hey, I'm going to leak some of these over to my guy at the NFL Network. Painting one picture about the relationship, the text messages exchanged between Incognito and Pouncey show more troubling truths. The two men held a grudge against Martin for being, quote, a snitch. They planned to retaliate in some way, which won't be good for Incognito or Pouncey. You put all this together and the chemistry of a locker room, this could be a one-time deal. There's no question about it. This could be a one-time deal. Or this will be brought up over and over and over, and the legalese will work its way into a locker room. It will try to change the culture of a locker room. There's reports that Incognito used slurs against an assistant trainer. And so when you put all this together and you look at where this story is going to go, what's going to happen to these players from here forward? That's what I look at. Because obviously this thing's completely out of control. What can be done for these players going forward? Jonathan Martin's agent in the last 10 minutes sent out a tweet through Adam Schefter of ESPN that his client will be on the field 100% this season. Okay, so let me ask you this. If you're an Arizona Cardinal fan, or fill in the blank for whatever team it is that you follow, Jonathan Martin signs with your team. Your immediate reaction is blank. If he signs with the Arizona Cardinals, then I have to look at Steve Keim's track record and say, Steve Keim's had a pretty darn good track record. But I would really have to question this one. Bringing a guy in like this, of course the agent's going to say, he'll be on the field 100% this season. Will he be accepted? The sounds of this story to me, when the agent is already trying to lay the groundwork that he's going to be out there, if you're a fan of the Dallas Cowboys or the Oakland Raiders or fill in the blank, whatever team, would you want Jonathan Martin on your team? Pretty easy question to throw out. I would have to trust the organization's judgment, but I would clearly, especially when you look at all the backstory on this, players outwardly would say, oh yeah, we accept him as long as he can play. It's kind of like the Michael Sam story in a completely different sort of way. As long as he can play, we've heard that quite a bit this week. As long as he can play, we're fine with it. On the other side, Jay Perry will be in studio. CEO of the Arizona Super Bowl host committee. We'll visit with Jay. We'll have Goody at the Movies coming up. Matt Muehlbach from the U of A Wildcat Network tonight, U of A ASU, and much more as we continue on. I'm Brad Sussmat, Sports360AZ.com. AZ Central Sports, and, of course, White Mountain Radio, and on Twitter, at Brad Sussmat. Stay with us.
React and interact to our Facebook question of the day. Like our page at facebook.com/sports360AZ.
Jay Perry joins us now, CEO, Arizona Super Bowl host committee. Brad Sussmat, Sports 360. See, you can watch it up there. Sports360AZ.com. AZ Central. It's always good to be on AZ Central. White Mountain Radio. And what are you talking about, your dress for radio today? You look fine.
Well, I thought it was just radio. I didn't know we were going to be visible.
Yeah.
Video.
We're live visible.
And live and in color.
Look, we're in a stadium.
We
you
are.
Know, that's
I love
our,
the backdrop.
Yeah. Yeah. So thanks for coming in.
Happy Valentine's, Fred.
Right back at you. Are you having a good Valentine's?
Everything is off to a fantastic start.
Yeah?
Yeah.
It's you sure?
It's good to be in the studio here with you.
Yeah, well, I
need to pinch you. You don't have any red or pink.
Yeah,
on
well,
trouble.
I ran away before my wife could do that. So way it goes. My kids pinch me and beat me up. All right, so here's the thing. There's a lot to talk to you about. Your background, first and foremost, because there's people that are going to be watching this saying, why is she in charge of the Super Bowl?
Right.
And, you know, that's not a criticism. It's just your background was in banking.
Right.
And with this, so I'd rather me reciting it, you know, I could do that.
It's better when you tell it, Brad. It's a better story.
No, go ahead.
So, you know, it was interesting. It turns out I have this kind of perfect intersection of corporate America, working in the marketing world, Bank of America, kind of a big brand, and then crossing over into professional sports and running the Phoenix Mercury as a president and chief operating officer, and then moving to the Suns. Front office in charge of really sales and marketing. And so that was kind of a nice combination when this opportunity came forward to work on the Super Bowl and hosting it here in Arizona. And that's it's a lot about sport, but it's also a lot about business and how we maximize the impact for our state.
Well, and I'm big on that because it's like I've said for years with the Fiesta Bowl. I'll just use that as an example. When those hotel rooms get filled for a bowl game from people in Wisconsin or Michigan or wherever, that's good every year. When you have a Super Bowl, it's times 50. Like the airpark that you're driving into right now will be littered with corporate jets that have to pay to get in here, which is very good for Scottsdale. Mm-hmm. And that will all take place next year. So we all get excited when it's the Denver Broncos in the Super Bowl against the Seattle Seahawks. But I think it's more the business side, as I look at it, is how does this benefit our community? And people are saying, oh, come on, just give me football. No, go rent out your house during Super Bowl week and make five times what your rental payment should be. Right. You can benefit on this, too. I'm giving some advice. So.
It really is. It really is for the whole community. And it's showcasing Arizona and just telling the fantastic story of what a great place this is to live. I mean, we're so lucky to be here today when we see the weather around the world and at the Olympics. And it's a great place to work. And it's a place where, I mean, Phoenix is the sixth largest city in the U.S., and yet we've got room to grow and we can make a personal impact. And that's kind of what starts to set us apart from other places in the U.S. And that's a story that we want to tell with the Super Bowl.
Well, and here's the thing. Jay, I don't want to sound like an alarmist. However, when the Super Bowl went off in New York a couple weeks ago, without really much of a hitch, it put the pressure, I think, on Arizona, not for next year, but now there's going to be cold weather cities that are going to say, well, what do you mean we can't host a Super Bowl? Mm-hmm. Why do we always have to? So it's incumbent on not just you, but your group that we're going to do fine, and then it's 4 years, 6 years, whatever the next one is. But I think this past Super Bowl in New York was a bit of a game changer.
Right.
Am I wrong?
Right. No, you're absolutely right. And our mission as a host committee is really to be the catalyst to bring together all the community partners, the private sector, the public sector, the community at large, to say, why should we be in this regular rotation for Super Bowls and other mega events? And we did see, I was in New York, and we can hopefully talk a little bit about that.
Sure.
I mean, they did an amazing job in New York and New Jersey. And at the same time, most everyone that I ran into said, we can't wait to get to Arizona. So there's still this this idea, this theme, that we are a desirable destination. And we also need to figure out how do we continue to kind of up the ante and make it as good as it can be when they get here.
What did you see in New York that you said to yourself, oh my gosh, we have to try to do this?
Right. Well, they did, from an operational standpoint, everything went really smoothly. So they had their transportation figured out. One little glitch with mass transportation. And so we're already working with light rail and buses and just how do we move people around this entire valley? And we want to take advantage of the breadth of our community, whether it's a Mesa or a Tempe or a Scottsdale or a Phoenix. We want to showcase all of that to the visitors. And so operationally, that went well. They also unveiled something called Super Bowl Boulevard, which was 14 blocks on Times Square in New York. So the biggest stage ever, right, where they have the New Year's Eve ball drop and all that. And it was kind of like New Year's Eve, but for 4 days straight. So masses of people having a great time and just a festival environment, kind of creating their own Super Bowl memory. So we're looking at how do we do that bigger and better in Arizona?
Jefferson Street, right?
We're working on where that's going to be right now.
Yeah.
And one of the reasons that we're getting the Super Bowl back so quickly, because we had it in 2008, and prior to that we had it in 1996, is because of all the infrastructure and investment that's happened in downtown Phoenix and really across the valley. So that's news, and we want to make sure that we're broadcasting that worldwide. Mm-hmm. We know the Super Bowl was the most watched event ever in TV history. And so that's the story we get to tell next year.
Jay Perry's with us, a CEO of the Arizona Super Bowl Host Committee, and on Sports 360 AZ, and of course AZ Central Sports, White Mountain Radio, and on Twitter. I'm just thinking of the location. So I mentioned to you about Jefferson Street, but you could conceivably go take over Scottsdale. You could take over Tempe, but you're not going to take it outside of the city, outside of Maricopa County. You're
right.
Not going to go do Super Bowl Boulevard.
That
is, some people have said, well, Brad, well, I don't see any benefit here in Flagstaff, or I don't see any benefit here in Tucson. Well, actually, I think that you will, because people do want to get out here early. Super Bowl is one of those deals where they will want to go explore.
Exactly. And that's, I was just talking to our key contact at the league yesterday, Frank Sapovitz, who's run the last 10 Super Bowls. And we were talking about the mobile app that we will have available to people around Super Bowl, and it will showcase our entire region and, you know, what the things are to do, what the great attractions are. And that is an opportunity for the whole state to be involved, you know, whether it's our icons around the Grand Canyon or Sedona or Southern Arizona. So we want to make sure that for all the visitors that are coming, but also it's a nice reminder for even residents of the valley and the state. There's so many things to do here.
I'm wondering, because I'm getting people sending me notes right now about, they want to know about the expenses. The Republic's done some stories on the expenses. What can you say on that front and how expenses are going with the Super Bowl coming out here?
You know, the bidding process to get a Super Bowl is very competitive. And so when we were awarded the bid a few years ago, we laid out what we as a state and a valley were willing to commit to get the Super Bowl to come back in 2015. And we are fundraising now to raise that money with the corporate sector as well as the public sector. And that's going well. Our goal is to raise $30 million to host the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. And that money goes towards all sorts of things. And at the same time, the NFL puts in a boatload of money to bring the Super Bowl to Arizona, too, and to make it bigger and better than ever. So it goes towards hosting the media, making sure that we're taking care of the media. It's a lot of the operational expenses, stadium expenses on game day, team hotels when they're actually here. So, I mean, it's a litany of things that are just kind of essentials to putting on a big event.
And you're right in the middle of all that.
Exactly.
Yeah. How are you finding this state to be in terms of, I know that embracing it is one thing, but actually getting the checks written and handed in. Are you at your goal yet?
Right. We're not at our goal yet. We're on our way, but we are looking for additional sponsors to come on board. But the corporate community, the CEOs here have really been receptive and wanting to get on board and wanting to figure out how they can support. So the conversations are going well, and we're looking for others to sign on.
What did you get out of New York that you look back now and say, we were already ahead of them?
Mm-hmm.
I asked you, well, what did you learn? But I'm going to turn it around on you and say, where are you already ahead of the game on this one?
Right. Well, one is just setting up our transportation so it's easy for people to get around. And that is park and rides and just all those sorts of things that are going to make navigating the valley easy is one. Number two is we really are going to look at that 5,000-plus group of media personnel that come in from around the world and make sure that they are hearing the story of Arizona and are really treated in a special way. Mm. One thing that we have going for us here is we've got space. And so in New York, things were a little cramped. Space is at a premium. And so we're already working with the convention center to say, how can we make sure that the media are just treated in a way that will really blow their socks off? And we'll have them talking about us the week of the game, but long after the game. I mean, what we're
or even before
to,
the game. I mean, and, like in the next 6 months. Yeah, as, 6 months from now,
absolutely.
You want stories.
Absolutely. I mean, all the lead up. I mean, yeah. We are starting to do community service projects in February. We'll be having events from now until Super Bowl.
So you need volunteers too, right?
We do need volunteers,
yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, whenever the Super Bowl rolls in, I always throw that out there because people will say, I didn't realize that there's actually opportunities to work on a Super Bowl. So mm-hmm. Why don't you go through that a little bit?
Sure. So we are taking volunteer signups right now at azsuperbowl.com, and we will begin to deploy those volunteers in March at events, at community service projects, and then leading up to actually the week of the game. We have about 2,400 volunteers signed up already.
Wow.
And we want to get to about 10,000 volunteer opportunities. And it's great because some of the people I've already come in contact with have said to me, I volunteered last time. I had such a great time. Here's what I got to do. I didn't get to go to the game, but I created my own Super Bowl story.
Yeah, this is not tickets, by the way.
That's right. Yeah.
Because Jay's going to get hit up from everybody and their brother saying, hey, how can I get some tickets? Can you put me in touch with somebody? Because that's had to have happened to you already.
Well, I do
or
have
people
to say.
Or people schmooze you to the point of, well, if I do this, I'll get that.
Exactly.
Yeah? Am I right?
Exactly. You are right. And I knew you wouldn't ask me, but typically
I'll send you a letter.
When I'm out and about,
no,
people
not.
Say, how do I get tickets? And I say, you know, I've got them in my purse. How many would you like? That kind of stops them dead in their tracks.
50-yard line.
That's right. Where do you want to sit?
That's
yeah.
Jay's used to hearing about ticket requests, though.
You know? I am. You know, being with the Suns and being with the Mercury and at Bank of America for a long time. But it's great to be, you know, it's great for people to even be interested. And that's mm-hmm. what's been so fun about the Super Bowl is that everybody wants to take part in it. It's so positive, and they realize the impact it can have on our community.
When do things from the NFL's, and I'm asking some very basic questions because mm-hmm. as I look at it, when does the NFL drop down into Phoenix and start their planning? Or they do it, are they already here with their own little setup, or how does that work?
The way that works is we've had ongoing meetings with our folks from the NFL starting last year on kind of regular intervals. Now, starting in April, we'll have quarterly meetings with them where they come in with, you know, 50-plus people, and we are going all around the valley and just working on all the logistics and the events and the planning. And I think what's interesting about the NFL is they are always asking the questions, how can we make it better for the fans? You know, how do we kind of supersize it in 2015?
Mm-hmm.
And that's exciting to be a part of. And I think it's going to make it exciting for our residents, for the whole state, because there'll be something new that you didn't expect or you didn't see in New York.
I had some people ask me about, well, how's it going to work with Waste Management Open being the same week? Well, it worked just fine the last time
it's
around.
Be great.
Actually, yeah, because you had fans that rolled into town and they were wearing their Super Bowl team jerseys while they were out at the event,
mm-hmm.
so
mm-hmm.
At the golf course. So I don't see any problems at all.
Right. We don't either. In fact, we see it as a real positive. The Thunderbirds and the Waste Management Phoenix Open are a partner of ours. We're working together. We're collaborating. And again, when we kind of put that viewpoint on of how do we make it best for our visitors and for the fans, we're going to come up with some cool stuff. I think it's great.
Come back by in a few months, if you could.
Absolutely. I'll come anytime.
Let's just do this, you know, what's going on.
Let's do this.
Let's chat.
Yeah.
Let's just
all right.
chat.
Let's
have coffee and whatever. Thanks, Jay.
Thank you.
Jay Perry with us in studio. Always good to catch up with Jay. Super Bowl is coming next year. And on the other side, it is Valentine's Day, guys. Have you screwed this one up? You know what's going on in sports. Bill Goodykuntz, AZ Central's chief film critic for Gannett. Goody at the Movies is next. I'm Brad Sussmat.
For in-depth, unique coverage from the high schools to the pros, follow us on Twitter at Sports360AZ.
Now, because you know what's going on in the world of sports, it's a Friday night. It's Valentine's weekend. Guys, if you're going to just sit around other than the ASU U of A game and not go on a date or not try to find someone to go hang out with, man, you need to get your act together. That's why we have Goody here. Bill Goody Kuntz, chief film critic for Gannett, AZ Central. Always good to catch up with Goody at the movies and other things that are on my mind. Are you going to step in and be the next sub for Bob Costas? Because now it's Meredith Vieira who is taking over.
I would do it if they asked.
What is it? I mean, Costas' pink eye, it was kind of fun to look at him. Like, Bob Costas is off his game a little bit, and he's still trying to hang in there. And then Matt Lauer rolls in like he just got out of a log cabin, and now you're gone. Go to the bench. Let's get Meredith Vieira in. What's going on with the Olympics first?
Maybe it's like one of those coaching jobs where just people really don't want it, but they're afraid to say that.
I mean, it's late hours, right? It's all tape delayed. Why do I want this? If I'm Matt Lauer, I want to go skiing. I want to go taste vodka.
Well, and he and Vieira have, you know, day jobs too. Like really early morning day jobs.
Well, it's...
So I don't know. I mean, I think it's kind of a weird Olympics this year.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, or so they say. And I love it. I really like watching it, but, I mean, typically, but that said, I mean,
however,
has any story other than his eye really grabbed your attention this year?
No. No, I mean, look, Bodie Miller flamed out again today. So what we're going to hear about is where there really wasn't a star that caught our eye, but we have all these Madison Avenue endorsement weasels hanging around waiting for somebody to catch our eye. And if you're Shaun White, now you're nothing. You're gone. Forget about Shaun White. Forget about Bodie Miller. There hasn't been anything. I'm more into the hockey. Like, I got up, Bill, at 5 a.m. to watch the women's game and the men's game. And I'm going to follow them. There's something about them that still seems pure to me rather than all this prepackaged nonsense.
That's pretty hardcore.
No, that's true.
There's two things going on, of course. One is the time shift. I mean, you know, you're not going to get it live unless you do what you do, like unless you get up really early in the morning. It's not going to happen. And the other is, you know, the NBC, for better or worse, realized, you know, 10 Olympics ago that we really like seeing Americans, and Americans aren't always going to do well, particularly in the Winter Olympics. So what we want to see instead are these stories, these, like, you know, feel-good stories. It's, you know, so-and-so overcame this and that, and, you know, all of a sudden... You know, her house burned down, but she skied that afternoon anyway, and she won, and da-da-da,
yeah.
You know. People love that stuff. But that's what we get. And when there's nothing to see live, that's pretty much all we're going to get, you know?
So, on the movie front...
I got one more Olympics thing.
Yeah, sure.
I don't know if you watched the men's figure skating last night. My kids were watching it.
Zzz.
This dude took... Well, for one thing, the Russian guy, who's maybe one of the greatest ever, he had to... retire. I mean, he like retired on the ice. It was like John Crook getting a single and saying, "Hey, I'm done." You know, when he got to first base. But that was kind of sad, and he was obviously hurt. But there's this dude, this skater, who was really good, but he had the worst fall I've ever seen in skating. It was like something out of NASCAR. He just like slammed. And Scott Hamilton used the phrase that they use in skiing, which I love. When somebody really wipes out like that, they call it a yard sale. Because, you know, like all this stuff is all over the place. I love that.
Well, I like Scott Hamilton, too. I did not see that last night. You know, I just can't get myself into that. What I want to know on the movie end of things, so RoboCop or Endless Love showing up on the same weekend.
And About Last Night.
And see, and About Last Night is the one that I think I want to go see. I have no interest in RoboCop. I have no interest in Endless Love. I broke up seeing the first Endless Love in the parking lot afterwards. It's a horrible memory.
That's nice.
No, but About Last Night, is that worth seeing tonight?
The three movies played on the same night, so the only one I've seen is RoboCop, which is better than you would think. The first RoboCop is great. I love that movie. This one's okay. It's not as horrible as I had feared it would be. It's got a good cast. And I'm told that Endless Love and About Last Night are not as horrible as you would think either. The question is, you know, why them, why now, why all at one time? And all 80s movies, too, you know?
Yeah, I mean, Three Days to Kill with Kevin Costner, that doesn't do much for me.
That's coming out next week.
Is it next week?
All right, yeah.
I had on my notes for this week. So Endless Love and About Last Night sound like, one sounds like a total chick flick that I just want to off myself. That'd be Endless Love. The other, About Last Night, sounds like I've got a little bit of humor. You said you haven't seen them, but you've talked to people who have.
Yeah, and you know, the first About Last Night was pretty good, and it was, at the time, it was known for like the really steamy sex with Rob Lowe and Demi Moore. Probably get a PG-13 now, but the actually not really. I think it was still a pretty hard R. But the but that's based on the David Mamet play Sexual Perversity in Chicago. So I mean, that's got like a real, you know, that's got really got something behind it. Endless Love was, you know, the horrible Brooke Shields movie, where when she's like, you know, acting like she's like in bed with a guy, they had to squeeze her toe to make her make some kind of noise and seem passionate in some way. But you know what? I might make fun of Brooke Shields, but she went to Princeton and I did not.
No, you didn't. Either did I. Lionel Richie was the star of Endless Love.
He and Diana Ross, yeah.
If you think about it, the soundtrack of Endless Love was one of the better soundtracks that's been out there.
Yeah, I mean, but are you going to get that?
No, I know.
25-year-old music for, you know, like a 25-year-old movie. I don't know. I mean, a lot of things go into the scheduling of a movie, so a lot of this is coincidence that they're all out this week. But it just does not bolster the argument that Hollywood hasn't run out of ideas very well.
Well, now I want to talk to you about that. Goody at the Movies with us. So this weekend, if you had to push come to shove, it's a date night tonight for Valentine's. You're telling people to go see, based off of buzz and what you've seen, what would you advise them to go see? Just one movie.
I would probably advise that you catch up on some of the Oscar stuff that you've missed. I think Nebraska's still out there. Gravity, they're re-releasing again, I believe. That would be the best thing. If you're not going to do that, again, if you like the first RoboCop, which was a really good, it was really like ultra-violent and funny, but it was also like this just searing indictment of greed and capitalism in the late 1980s. The new one is not that, but it's not bad. And the cast is good. I love seeing Michael Keaton in anything. He's hardly ever in a movie anymore. So he shows up, and that's kind of cool.
What is it then in the next 6 weeks or so that you've heard about that you think is going to be very, very good? There's three movies that deal with religion that I hear that's coming out.
Yeah, there's the Noah's Ark thing with there's one called Son of God, which is the straight up story of Jesus's life, and that's produced by Mark Burnett, who created Survivor, the reality show, and his wife Roma Downey, who is the star and producer of Touched by an Angel. So, but I don't know. I mean, you know, I suppose Easter's coming. I guess that's it. I don't know of anything really coming up that I'm really excited about for the next little bit. This, you know, as great as last year was and as good as I think the Oscars are going to be and as hard as they are to predict right now, I think we're sort of paying for it right now because, you know, nobody wants to, you know, if everybody wants to keep that buzz going and nobody wants to, they're not going to open anything that's really good. I mean, the best movie I've seen this year is the Lego movie. So.
Well, that says it all. And I didn't go see it yet, but my family saw it and they said it was terrific. I'll let you go off that. I appreciate you coming on board as always.
Well, go see the Lego movie.
I don't know. Date, Valentine. This is my 25th anniversary with her, so I think I'm fine if I said, well, let's go see RoboCop. I want to see bodies exploding, you know.
Congratulations.
Yeah, it's in June, so. I'll let you go off that. See ya. Here's Bill Goodykunz, Goody at the Movies. This segment of the show brought to you by Santan Ford. Santan Ford, where it is all about you. This morning, I got a rousing wake-up call from my 9-year-old. It was like 5:45, and it was, hey, we have to go get Mom Valentine's Day breakfast down at the corner taco shop. She wants a breakfast burrito. I want to surprise her. It's fine. So I drag myself out. I get into my Ford Fusion, the two of us back out together. We roll down the windows. It's maybe, I don't know, 55 degrees. And here's my 9-year-old saying, you know, it's kind of cool being out with you this time of the morning. I said, yeah, we haven't gone fishing in a while. We should do something like that. And he said, well, I just like being out with you. So we get caught up on things. We go get the breakfast burrito. We go buy some flowers and do all that stuff. By the time I got back to the house, it was 20 minutes of just getting caught up. You ever been in a vehicle where you just can't stand it and you just want to get out? You don't want to be in there? And then this morning I'm driving up to do my thing at our palatial Skyview Studio Estate Studios in Scottsdale. And it's a comfortable drive. It's in a vehicle that I fit in. I'm getting work done. I'm talking to people as I'm making my way up here, both hands on the steering wheel, not texting and driving. But I'm in a vehicle that I can do all that in, the Ford Fusion. When I'm done with the show, I have a speaking engagement downtown, and tonight it's Valentine's night. I got to go on a date. I have to. But I'm in a vehicle that I really like, and that's the Ford Fusion, the 2014 Ford Fusion from Santan Ford. Santan Ford, just off the Santan 202 in Val Vista, Santan Ford, where it is all about you. The other thing tonight is ASU and U of A basketball. So Jared came, I come in this morning, Jared Cohen, I'm not going to say you're a huge U of A basketball fan. You like covering all stories. You happen to follow U of A a little bit closer because you went there, and that's fine. But I never, ever, ever, not once have I ever seen it come out in your writing or your stories that you're a U of A guy. Never seen it.
Good. That's the goal.
That's the goal. So tonight, and I brought up the Brandon Ashley thing, and we're going to talk about it with Matt Muehlbach in a little bit. You don't think U of A is any different without Brandon Ashley on the floor?
They are different. I think that the things that they're saying of what make them different aren't accurate. You'll watch ESPN or different news outlets that's saying U of A looks like a completely different team.
I disagree with that.
Because on offense, they've been struggling going back further to when Brandon Ashley went down. You look at that Utah game at home, and you look at Stanford on the road before he went down in the Cal game. It's been the same issues that they had in those two games before the post-Brandon Ashley injury. Plus, on defensive side of the ball, they're still holding teams under 60 points. Does it change things? Maybe a little bit, but to say that they're completely different and it's completely changed and thrown them off since he got hurt, well, I don't think is completely true.
Well, look, that's a lot of people around the country that are busy watching Syracuse and to see if they can go undefeated and are thinking that there's a conspiracy theory why North Carolina didn't want to play Duke the other night because of the snow. They don't watch what's going on out
exactly.
here.
Exactly.
I've had national analysts on the show that have said to me, well, I really haven't seen U of A play much this year, so I really can't tell you how good they're going to be. They're number two in the nation.
I know.
What do you mean you haven't seen them play very much this year?
And that's why I get frustrated because you have the national outlets thinking they know what they're talking about, have only seen a couple games out of U of A, and think that there's this big change since Brandon Ashley got hurt, when reality is they haven't changed that much based on where they struggle and where they succeed. Losing one of your best players is a problem, but where their struggles have come from hasn't changed much since he got hurt.
See, I think tonight there's more pressure, obviously, on ASU because they can say all they want. Look at where our RPI is now. But they're going to finish, after tonight's game, I believe it's five of their last seven or four of their last six are on the road, and then they go to the Pac-12 tournament.
Very tough stretch.
So you have a really tough stretch, and yeah, they're 12-1 at home. If you want to have that signature victory, if we're going through the resume of ASU right now, what is their signature victory this season? I would say Cal would have to be one of them, winning on the road against Mike Montgomery's team with a better RPI than yours. That's a pretty strong win.
And maybe UNLV on the road.
Yeah, I mean, maybe, but if you're able to win against your arch rival who's in the top 10 in RPI and put that on your resume, I think unless you just completely flame out in the next 3 weeks, you actually have something to build on. I think you're in if you win tonight. So there's that pressure that's on ASU. U of A, it's all about seeding at this point. A loss to ASU isn't going to do much of anything to them. It's really not going to. It's not going to kill them. Brad Sussmat with you, Sports 360 AZ, AZ Central Sports. Thanks, Jared. Of course, on White Mountain Radio and on Twitter at Brad Sussmat, C-E-S-M-A-T. On Sports 360 AZ, there's some terrific content that's up. We do things a little differently than everyone else. Jared's got a piece up on a homeschooled basketball player in high school who's the number one player in the state, Courtney Upmark, and she's playing next year at Connecticut. It's a terrific, terrific story. We have the recruiting roundup year-round on the high school college football recruiting scene. It's there every week with Jared and Jason Jewell. Eric is out with his content as well, and I write some things two, three times a week, bunch of notes that I see going on in the world of sports. We have contributors, too. Check it out, sports360az.com. Brad Sussmat with you on a great Friday.